to start this talk by quoting three examples in the New Testament scriptures. Three examples of Jesus ministering to, that is, serving the people. The first one is in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 through to 42. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. The second example is in Matthew 9, and we take it up in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. And the third example is in Matthew again, but chapter 15 and verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now these 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And this was the precursor to Jesus providing miraculously food for 4,000 followers. Another great miracle from Jesus. Now, these three examples all have a common key motivator, the prime mover, the principal driver in all these examples, and many others are examples that could be quoted, is the word compassion. Now, I want to take a closer look at the word compassion and to draw out three vital lessons. Firstly, recognition of Jesus's prime motivation. And secondly, how we, as members of the body of Christ, are to be motivated. And thirdly, how we are to apply the same example as Christ demonstrated in turning our passion into godly compassion. So let's make a start. There are three words in the word compassion. Firstly, the verb to compass. Secondly, the noun compass. And thirdly, the word passion. We start from the last word and work backwards. The definition of the word passion is a strong enthusiasm or excitement for or compelling desire to do something or about something. It can also mean suffering for a particular cause. We can clearly see that Christ was totally and absolutely committed to God's cause, his Father's will. We read in John 4, verses 31 to 34. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. His meat, that is, what Jesus fed on, that which provided his sustenance, that which sustained him, that provided satisfaction of his appetite, was to do the will of his Father, and to finish, that is, complete, and satisfy his work. The Bible describes Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, as we read in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Such was the passion, the desire that drove Christ, and the suffering he underwent as a result. We read in Luke 12, verses 49 to 50. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" The word translated as straitened comes from the Greek senecho, meaning to be held together, compressed, compelled, arrested, preoccupied, fully focused. The Greek word translated as accomplished is the word teleo, which means to be completed, to be fully satisfied. Jesus was completely preoccupied with completing his vital mission to heal, to restore, to save souls. Next, we look at the verb compass, meaning to surround, to encircle, to wholly or fully embrace. Christ came as God in the flesh, fully embracing the human form. We read in Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 18. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For that in he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted." As members of the true and faithful church, that is, the body of Christ, we also have the example of the faithful people of the Old Testament that have gone before us as an example of applied faith, as we see in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We enter the race, so to speak, with a prime objective of winning. It becomes our absolute focus. We are to become more and more determined, even as Christ showed us, to complete the mission. We now move on to the noun compass, which means an instrument used to indicate direction with reference to north. Also, it describes an instrument that enables transcription of a circle, used to circumscribe to describe an all-round path. We have the all-embracing testimony of Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh, as our exemplary path to follow. God has also given us the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, to guide us and lead us into all the truth, as we read in John 16, verses 13 to 14. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, we read the following: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So in summary, when we put the three separate words together that form the word compassion, we obtain a fuller picture of what compassion really means. Obviously, compassion is about demonstrating mercy, about taking pity on others. But it also describes what drives us. Compassion motivated and continues to motivate Jesus Christ. His absolute drive to accomplish God's plan and purpose, not only in himself, but now in us, is evident. He exercises an incredible zeal, an ardor, fervor, intense desire for the fulfillment of God's plan for mankind. And he also urges us to develop the same mind, the same approach as he demonstrated, a mind for serving others, as we read in John 4 and verse 35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And now a final thought on the word compassion. When the prefix co or com is added to a word, it acts as an abbreviation of the meaning together or with. For example, a commission means a joint mission. We as members of the body of Christ have a commission. We've entered a joint mission with Christ, a common purpose, a common driver. This is an essential part of our communion, a common union or common unity with Christ. Luke 10 verses 33 to 37 records the classic example of the parable of the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite pass by, unable or unwilling to act, to do something. Clearly, the Samaritan, the one who showed mercy, was the true neighbour, the near friend. Luke 10 and verse 37 records Jesus proclaiming, "Go and do thou likewise." That is our co-mission with Christ, and we share in his passion, his desire. Therefore, let us go out into this world and show the true compassion of Christ.